The PK Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the PK Podcast once again. It's me, Nicholas Rodriguez.
And Juan Rodriguez, his daddy.
That's my daddy, my papa, my poppy, my
this
slime.
This is the PK Podcast where you will listen to about life, love, and spirituality through the eyes of a pastor and his son.
I'm the son, he's the pastor, he raised me, he helped give birth to me. He created me.
I cut the umbilical cord.
He cut the umbilical cord. He ate the umbilical
cord. Oh, my word. I did not.
But you know how people do that, right?
Yeah, but I am not one of those people.
Why didn't you do it?
That's disgusting.
I thought it was like a... I thought people eat it. It's like a nutritious thing, not just like
I don't know if it is or not. I just do not even think about having that for supper.
Well, it's not supposed to satiate you. It's not a meal.
That's
you're not
nasty.
Supposed to want it. You just do
That's
it.
That's nasty. And to be politically correct, I apologize to anyone who has those for meals, but I did not have mine.
Anyone who's eating umbilical cords with a fork and knife on their little plate?
Yes, that's disgusting. Sorry.
That's okay, man. You probably only just hurt about 5 million gazillion people. It's no big deal.
Sorry.
Okay, here's a little thing to start off the episode before we get into the actual episode.
Mm-hmm.
So umbilical cord, the umbilical cord thing. Did you know about the umbilical cord eating tradition?
Yes, and placentas.
And so you knew about those and you just chose not to do it because you thought it was gross.
I knew about those and I knew about the sick people who did it.
And did you know any people who did it that you like knew personally?
No.
No? You don't associate with those freaks of nature?
I don't. And if I know you and you've done it, I apologize to you.
But you are a freak. There's something wrong with you. There's something messed up in your head.
Yes.
Okay, and a second question about that, that I kind of wanted to build into was, does the umbilical cord have anything to do with the depth of someone's belly button?
With the death of someone's belly button?
Not death. The depth.
The depth.
You know how some people have outies and some people have innies? Because my belly button particularly goes pretty deep.
Yeah, I think it has something to do with that and the way it comes out. It pops out.
Ew.
Because yours was in and it popped out.
All I'm saying is that the more we talk about it, the hungrier I get.
Oh, my word.
Okay, guys, so that was a little PK Podcast cold open. A little bit of curiosity slipped into the podcast. I was a little bit curious about stuff.
Oh, I need to say something here at the beginning.
Okay.
So in the last episode,
yeah,
we mentioned that this was season four.
Okay, he's going to put me on blast and live.
It's not season four.
It's season three.
Exactly. Yeah, but we looked back in the archives
and
we discovered that the father was correct.
Yeah.
Per usual.
Yeah.
And this is season four. Our fourth and final one. We left going around the bases. We went to first base, second base, third base.
This is the home run.
Home base.
Oh, I actually like that. I like that thought process.
This is the baseball diamond home run.
Yeah.
This is it. The final countdown. You are listening to the last season of the PK Podcast. Season four. Welcome.
It's interesting because I find that in specifically what you said and saying that you were right, like as per usual.
Oh, did I say that?
Yeah. Okay. All right. well. Listen. It was funny. It was funny how you said it because I feel like whenever I'm in the position where I'm right about something, I always say the same exact thing too.
Really?
I go, and of course I'm right again. like as if I've been keeping track. But if someone ever asked me about the times I've been right about something, I don't think I'd actually be able to name any of them.
Oh yeah, I probably could.
There's no way.
Oh yeah, definitely.
What was the last thing you were right about before this?
I was right
that
about
somebody
season
thought
four.
You were wrong. I said before this, bruh. Before this.
Oh, let me think. Oh, I have to think about that.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying is that you can't just pull it up out of the top of your head. You have to actually like spend time to like if I thought about it too, I could probably think of something, right? But if somebody went, "Well, when was the last time you were right about something?" It's just by saying as per usual, it implies like as if you or me are aware of the fact that we are right about specific things.
Oh, I remember now.
Okay, go ahead.
So at work, this high school worker said something.
Wait, you're right. You were just talking about this.
Yeah, they said
today.
Something that they thought they were just right and very confident too.
Yeah.
Something that I admire because it would be something that I would be doing too, that I'd be very confident about what I'm saying.
Right, right.
So this person was very confident, but they were super wrong. So that was a moment that I cherished.
But were you the one who said what the right thing was, or wasn't that somebody else who said that?
It was somebody else, but I was in the vicinity, so I felt like it was me anyways.
Oh, I cannot believe that just happened. That could not be further from counting as anything that you could be running. You were in the circle. You had no part in that. You were a third party. You were not right about anything in that moment. You
However,
were, but hey, you weren't wrong about anything either.
I wasn't, and I was there.
So I'm guessing that sense is a victory. You chose no side. Man, that's crazy. Okay, well, all right, guys. Thanks for tuning into the PK Podcast. We'll see you next time. Just kidding.
So this episode, we are reflecting.
Yes, this is a reflection episode. Reflections. Kind of got this. It's kind of a spur of inspiration from the last episode. You know, we have a few topics we want to talk about, but I feel like this is something that should be talked about because I think it's really, really important because I don't think that people do it enough. I think that a lot of people, they go back and they look at giant decisions that they made, giant, like, conscious decisions that they made in their lives. And they go, man, I do that a lot. I really want to change that. I should change that about myself. It's a good thing. It is a very good thing. But I think that what people ignore is that when you're a kid or when you were a kid or when you were growing up in general, adolescence, even being a toddler, as far back as being a toddler, like in first grade or something like that, you go far as back as that and you will find unconscious decisions that you made that actually still repeat in the present day, and it happens just as unconsciously as it used to, and so you actually bar yourself off from learning to change childish things that you're doing without even realizing that you're doing them by going, oh man, I made a decision that I did not like. I'm not going to make the decision like that again. I don't want to be that kind of person. But again, there are some things, there are some decisions you make without even, they're passive decisions, the kind of decisions you've been making since you were a child. And I realized that about myself recently. Would you like to hear it?
And so when you do that recently, is it because you've realized it because you've taken a moment to reflect?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's specifically because I noticed that I had done something and then I went, wait a minute. Why do I feel the same way as I felt when I did this one thing a long time ago? And I went, oh my gosh, it kind of feels like that other thing I did then too. And then I went, this is something that I've been doing for my entire life. I don't want to do this anymore.
So then you started reflecting on all these things because this habit-forming
mm-hmm.
process was taking place through what you were doing.
Well, and it's not even a current habit-forming process. It's a habit that because maybe it worked once or twice when I was a tiny kid, my brain has just subconsciously made that my go-to in hopes that it works.
Mm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so tell me more.
So my go-to since I was a kid has been escape. It seems pretty vague when I explain it like that, but let me start it off with this.
Please do.
When I was a little baby boy.
When my umbilical cord was cut off.
And my dad forced me to watch him eat it right in front of my parents.
Oh, my word.
But no. So when I was a very little kid and I first went to school, first grade, I never went to kindergarten. All right, ladies and gentlemen, big reveal. I never went to kindergarten. Okay? I step in first grade and as soon as I walk in, the first thing I do is I go, Mommy! All right, and I'm just like I'm just crying, I'm screaming, right? Go back to my mom, I start giving her a hug. The reason I did that was because I hoped that if I cried out, somebody would go, oh, something is wrong with him. He can't be here today. And I was hoping I would just be able to go back home, right? So there's the first, quite the tame example. Fast forward, going to third grade. I have used that at this point in time, by the time in third grade, at least 100 times on my poor, poor third grade teacher. And it worked every single time until one day there was the reading trip. We were going to go to a bowling alley with all our friends, but you had to have done the summer reading, and I didn't. And so I cried and I screamed and I was so, so sad. And then the principal comes in. He goes, my teacher goes, oh, well, why not let him go? Why not let him go? We can think of something for him to do. And the principal was like, oh, if you write an essay on this tiny book, then we'll let you go. But the trip was that day. So I got to go on the trip, and then I would have to write the essay afterwards. It's like, who cares? You know, I didn't have to do the summer reading. And then mom stepped in and she goes, you're not letting my son go on that trip.
Yeah.
He didn't do the thing he was supposed to do. So mom, he's not power, going baby. On the trip. Super awesome thing that she did. But I hated it when it happened because my plan had been foiled. Okay. So now, fast forward a few years, I'm starting to become more conscious of this. Okay. Oh, no. Not yet. Not yet. It happens later on. So the point where I was more conscious about it, but not conscious enough to be like, okay, I'm going to purposefully do this, right, is when I would pretend to be sick so I could get out of going to school. You remember this, of course, right?
Yes.
I only did it all the time.
Yes.
Okay? So I pretend to be sick. So you see how that connects to those two other things, right? The idea of acting like something is wrong in an exaggerated sense so that I could get what I wanted.
Lying, yeah.
Well, no, not just lying, but that's the key part. Is that lying would imply that all I did was say I was sick. But that's not all I would do. I used to make myself throw up.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only way that I felt like other people would believe that I was sick is if I made it believable that I was sick.
Right.
So it's, I would actually make myself feel bad. Mm-hmm. I would make myself cough. I would scratch up my throat. I would actually send myself into asthma attacks sometimes because I wanted to actually be sick. To get out of school. You see what I'm saying?
Mercy.
So it goes even beyond the lying, right? Even then, it was more passive. Because again, yes, obviously, I wanted to get out of school. But why didn't I just say, oh, I have a fever. Oh, my tummy hurts. Why did I have to make myself throw up?
You know what I mean? Because you didn't have a fever, nor your tummy ached.
Well, yeah, but if I say that my tummy aches really, really bad, I don't have to do anything. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So why would I go through all the trouble doing something actually harmful to myself and making myself feel bad just to get out of something rather than just lying about it, right? So here, onto the next bit, okay?
Okay.
So, oh man, this is the craziest one.
Here we go.
Up until this point. So when it really gets crazy is when I went to high school for the first time, my sophomore year of high school. It was probably the most depressed I'd ever been my entire life. And it wasn't because of the school. It was just because of how I was in that point in time.
And it was a boarding academy.
It was a boarding academy, yeah. And I wanted to be home more than anything because I was scared. And so I actually... passively, knowing it, but kind of almost like suppressing it, I would actually enter manic episodes while at the counselor and actually make myself super, super depressed. And I think it was because I knew that somebody was going to see that, whether it be my parents or my teachers. And they were going to say, there's no way this kid should attend this school. Because here's what I actually wanted. It's not about just wanting to get out of it. Because, oh my gosh, I forgot about a super important one. But I'll go back to that.
All right.
So it's not about getting out of something. It's about somebody telling me that it's okay and that it makes sense for me to get out of something. Because it's not enough for me to just, because then I feel like a quitter. You know what I mean? I need somebody to tell me that I'm doing something that makes sense, or I'm doing something that's good.
You need confirmation.
Or else I'm going to feel like a loser. Because if everybody tells me, oh, dude, well, you could have done this. Oh, dude, well, you could have done that. I'm going to be like, man, I really am a quitter, aren't I? Man, I really just did this just to get out of it, didn't I? And so as soon as somebody tells me, Nico, don't worry about it. It makes sense. It's okay. You're good. I go, oh, thank goodness, affirmation. I'm not the only one who wants to leave here. It's good that I actually left here. Right? So it's this huge thing to not only get out of a situation, but also to make myself feel better about getting out of a situation. You see what I'm saying? And again,
so you psychologically screw yourself up.
So other
people can confirm your screwed upness.
And again, it's not an active decision that I make, that I would make. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it's not something that I go, okay, I'm going to do that so that I get that. It wasn't something that I thought of while I was at GCA. It was something that I was like, it just happened. I just did it. Like, that's what I needed to do. And the way it seemed to myself on a surface level was that I was just really, really depressed and was going into panic attacks. So I needed to leave, right? But I know that I was upping it inside of myself to make myself feel worse so that people could tell me it's okay that I wanted to leave and it's okay to leave. Because then and only then am I able to live without the guilt of quitting halfway through something.
So we could have left you there and you would have been okay.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, my word.
So here's what I'm saying. But see, here's the thing, Poppy, is that we wouldn't have known that. I wouldn't have known that. I wouldn't have been able to tell you that, you know? So it's these passive things that are not active decisions that you make since you were a kid. Huge thing. Are you ready for this, Dad?
I'm so ready.
It all started actually before first grade with roller coasters. I would go on I'm going to go on the roller coaster, which then allows me to get all of the hype from everybody telling me, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. You're going to go on the roller coaster. This is so cool, right?
That's probably after first grade.
Okay, maybe after first grade.
Yeah, this is more like middle school.
Okay. So in between, it's an in-between, right? But I think that this is one of the most defining ones, okay? So I'm about to go on a roller coaster. Everybody's like, oh, so cool. You get to go on a roller coaster. Oh, so cool. You're going to go to boarding school. Oh, you're going to have such a good time. You're going to make so many friends, right? I go halfway through the roller coaster line. And the more I go down the line, the more I realize the decision that I've made. And it's terrifying me. And it's scaring me. Not to a point of panic, but just to a natural point of, oh, I like fear. Just normal fear, right? And so with that fear, then I go, I need to get out of this. So I introduce the concept. I don't think I want to go on here. I don't think I want to do this. And everybody goes, ah, come on, man. You got this. So now I go, okay, now I have to stay because if I leave, I'm going to be a loser, right? So then what follows is, well, I won't be a loser if I make it make sense that I want to leave and everybody agrees that it makes sense that I'm getting off and that it's actually a good thing. So now what do? Oh, man, I feel like I'm going to throw up. I really can't go on this roller coaster. I feel like I'm going to throw up. I didn't feel like I was going to throw up, but I would make myself nervous to the point to where I did feel like I was going to throw up.
So you were a master liar.
So it was master lying to the point to because I would trick myself. I would trick myself without even knowing
it. Right. You would believe your own lie.
Yeah. It was like I'd go, oh, man, I need to throw up. But it was because the hyper-fast processing of the thought was the only way I'm going to be able to not go on this roller coaster is if I feel like throwing up. Okay, I need to make it – I need to say that I'm going to throw up, right? Nobody had to believe me. Or everybody could have just believed me if I said it. Why did I actually make it to where I needed to make myself – where I needed to throw up?
because you needed mental confirmation that they were okay with you making this decision and you won't feel like a quitter and loser.
Exactly. So, next thing. Okay. I think that probably the next one is actually pretty far from the high school one, being when I didn't want to work for Amazon anymore. I was scared about driving the truck. I was scared about the area that I was in. They were all 100% valid arguments as to why someone wouldn't want, because it was a really bad area, a really, really bad area. And also, I barely got any training, but I would have gone on ride-alongs. I could have done it.
I know you could have done it.
But why didn't I do it? Why? Because I was scared of those things. I wasn't as scared as I ended up being, though, because at first I was scared. That fear went in, like, fueled my follow-up, which was looking at all of these possibilities that could make it even more scary that I wasn't even originally thinking about, and then making myself so scared to the point to where it's debilitating, so that somebody could tell me that if it's scaring me that much, then I should probably just go and look at something else.
So what happens is that you have a genuine fear in the beginning.
Yes.
And then you start obsessing over that fear.
Yeah.
And in your brain, it snowballs into something terrifying, almost like a horror movie happening in your mind. And then you need confirmation that this truly is a horror movie, that it's okay if you don't do it, because this horror movie is something that you should be afraid of. And we confirm that in your mind, yes, that this is going to be a terrible thing for you to do. So, yeah, you should quit Amazon. It's going to pay you a lot of money because you are genuinely scared. And now, but you snowballed so much into your brain that it's becoming this horrific horror snowball.
Yeah.
Perpetuating throughout your mind and coming out of your mouth and ears and nose.
Yes, to an extent. But the only reason why the snowball even starts in the first place is because of a passive desire to get confirmation. So it's a loop. It's, I'm scared, but I'm not scared enough to where somebody could tell me, could affirm my desire to leave. So I need to make myself more scared so that it's to a point where staying would be detrimental to my mental health. So then I make myself more scared passively out of the desire for other people to see the insane fear that I have, so that then they can tell me that it's okay if I leave.
And so this episode on reflections is helping people to reflect on their past so they can learn more about themselves, educate themselves more about who they really are.
Yes, and I think that it comes with not just reflecting on the decisions you've made, mm-hmm, but the way that you react to things.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a feeling that you have when you react to something in a way that you've reacted to it your entire life, if there's this gut-wrenching feeling that you have, like I have honestly always had every time that I've been through that, right? Then you should look at it. Look at how far back it goes. Look and see how far back it goes. Now, I'm not saying look at every single reaction to every single thing that's told to you or every single response you have to every single event. That's not what I'm saying. Because I could go on a whole nother tangent about how I went on this whole OCD thing just about that, when in reality, what it just leads to is you going, well, the reason I react in certain ways and the reason I act certain ways is because that's just me, right? That's just how I am, right? But the thing is that if there are things that are negative, things that make you feel bad when you do them, or things that hinder your ability to move forward in life, then you do have the ability to change those things. You don't have to claim that as part of who you are. You get to choose what you claim as part of who you are. You know, so there are things that you can go, okay, well, I don't want to do that anymore, so I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to. And essentially what it did is that any single time I felt I believe to be a necessary amount of fear towards something that could have moved my life forward, I instead would opt to even unknowing to my own conscious, I would subconsciously make myself more scared so that somebody would tell me that it's okay, you don't have to do this. And then and only then could I leave. Then and only then could I stop doing that. Then and only then could I feel good. You ready about what the latest thing was? You know when I realized this?
When did you realize this?
My recent job offer, sending the information when I was scared about all those things. I was paranoid that the job offer that I got was actually a scam.
Right.
Because they were asking me for all this information in ways that were shady. Now, what was the process I took? First, I was scared. I was genuinely scared about going into doing RBT, a whole nother thing, whole nother episode, registered behavioral technician, huge other thing. Point is that is a business or a field that I'm interested in, and I got a job offer from a clinic. And so I, instead of having that as an option while still exploring other options, I was scared that all the other options that I had in front of me that weren't RBT, none of them were going to go through. And I was just going to be stuck with being an RBT with nothing else to do, right? And that kind of field is something that can be nerve-wracking because of the type of business that you're doing. So I was getting really scared about it one night. And so what I did was that I started looking through the emails and I started finding things and I started reading stuff and then I started getting more scared. Why are they asking me for my social security card through the email? Why are they asking me for all this information through the email? That's not secure. It shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be looking at the other email beforehand. Hey, that's not the same email. Why are they asking me for something different in a completely different way? Why are they trying to rush me to fill out all this information even though I won't even move until August 7th? And the clinic won't even open until August 15th? All of this kind of crazy stuff. And then I became actually paranoid when I wasn't even originally paranoid, so that mom would tell me that it's okay to tell them to turn down the job offer and instead keep on exploring different options. And if that meant that I didn't have a job at Tennessee, I get to stay here in the comfort of my home and don't have to move forward with the scary idea of moving.
That's when you discovered
and then after I had that,
your whole life has been a crazy moment of creating chaos.
Well, not my whole life. Whoa, dude. I'm not going to say every single moment of my life was decided by that thing. Not
it was slightest. When fear crept up and you wanted everyone to confirm that your fears were justified.
That not only that my fears were justified, but that my desire to escape the thing that's causing the fear is justified.
Exactly.
And that I actually should escape. I realized that when I went to the bathroom right after me and mom looked through all the stuff, and all of it wasn't sketchy at all because it actually led to this other program that it turns out businesses use to send emails through different things, mm-hmm. and the secure line that they actually ended up having. Mm-hmm. And I sat down and I went, well, then I guess it's okay. And you know what happened? I went to the bathroom. I went, man, I got really paranoid about that for some reason. I wasn't even the original thing was just that I had this kind of like this nervousness and this fear about, you know, moving and doing this new thing that I could possibly be doing. And I wanted to just completely cut it out of the option so that I could just do something I'm familiar with instead. Why did I do that? Why did I make myself more paranoid? I didn't mean to do that. I just did. And then I went, man, it's kind of like when I used to go on roller coasters and I used to do that same thing. And then I went, oh my gosh, I've been doing this exact thing my entire life. And it was crazy. It was insane.
So now, if anything like this happens, I'm going to be like, whatever, get over it, move on.
Yeah, exactly. Just say that. Or just
suck it up, boy.
Or say, hey, dude, episode 2 of the PK podcast, season 4, ring any bells?
Listen to it.
And then I'll go, oh my gosh, this sucks. The thing is that fear makes sense. Stress makes sense. And even in certain scenarios, I feel like fear and stress can serve you to turn you away from things that you shouldn't be doing. Right?
Yes.
But
conjuring that inside of yourself on purpose is so backwards. And it's what I have been doing since I was a kid when in situations of fear and stress that would make me want to escape specifically. Because I felt stress and fear about things before, right? Like going to Southern, I was stressed about that. I was scared of that, right? But I didn't feel the need to escape. That's the key, is that I need someone to tell me it's okay to run away.
So,
and I need to make it to where it's not okay to run away.
You succumbed to the definition of fear said by a wise man at one time that said fear stands for fear everything and run.
Yes.
And that's what you succumb to, fear everything and run. But you know, there's another side of that that I want you to embrace. Are you ready for it?
I'm so ready.
Fear everything and run is not the correct thing. The other one is
okay.
Face everything and rise.
Ooh.
Face everything and rise. And I don't know who the original person was, the one that came up with that, but I can tell you that I heard it from Pitbull one time.
You're and telling me that's a Mr. Worldwide quote?
Mr. 305.
Oh, I heard him say, gosh.
Face everything and rise.
Dale.
But I'm sure it wasn't his original stuff. But I will say this, it's very true.
That is very true.
So you lived your life with the first definition, which was fear everything and run because you escaped. And you wanted confirmation for your running so that your running would not bring into your brain the thought of, I'm a quitter.
Yeah.
Because that's something that in our family we have never been fond of, is quitting.
Yes, so I would feel especially bad because I thought everybody was going to make fun of me.
We believed in hanging in there, facing everything you're going to do, be able to overcome any kind of issues, and just grit and go through it and grit.
Yeah.
And never quit. But in this case, when we're looking at facing your fear.
Yep.
That last part is huge. Face everything and rise. And that's what we needed to put into your brain, maybe.
So well, I mean, you
wouldn't escape.
But I again, I think it plays into the fact that not only could you not have known, but I don't really place blame upon myself beforehand in the sense that even though, yes, I technically kind of knew, that kind of thought process and that kind of way of living is so abstract that I think I could have only really looked into it at the point that I'm at right now. Not only with myself, but spiritually with God as well, and the way that I view life in general, the perspective that I've gained now about life, I think is the only way I've been able to do it. Now, am I going to say that I'm never going to do that again? No, because it's very difficult to break patterns that you've been doing for the 22 years of your entire life, right? But I will say this. Every single time I start it, I need to recognize that I've started it and go, oh, I accidentally just did it. And then start looking for solutions instead of reasons to run away.
And now that I know.
Yeah.
I can hold you accountable.
Yes, you can hold me accountable. But
oh, yes.
There, I do think, again, that there are some things that are so ridiculous and actually bad for you that you should run away from. Like, I'm not going to apply this kind of thought process when there is an evil woman who's got me wrapped around her finger. You see what I'm saying?
No,
like,
no.
I'm not going to be like, Dad, remember, face everything and rise.
Yes, you don't want to apply it then for sure. But definitely for the things you've been talking about, that's something
different. Yeah, jobs, future. Well, because those are things that can only help me. These aren't things that are going to ruin me at all, you know? So
absolutely.
That is pretty much everything that I wanted to talk about. I knew it was going to take an entire episode to talk about it, too. I knew it.
So I hope that as you listen to my son's reflection, that you take a couple of things out of it. First of all, that if you are facing something and you are wanting to escape from it or run from it,
yeah,
understand that you won't be a better person if you run and escape. You will be a better person if you face it
and rise
above it and just be able to move through that journey, however difficult it might be. And then also to take time to reflect on your life, not just reflect on your decisions, yeah. but on the motives of your decision, on the whys and the why nots. And I think the only way that you can do this is by taking time to just be in silence.
Yeah. You can't think. Do it when you're around people. It's too.
Definitely not.
Because we were talking last episode about taking other people's perspectives into account. I still think that that's extremely important. But when you're realizing something about yourself that only really you could know, it needs to be you and God. Because God is the only other person that understands the abstract thoughts that not even you understand. You know?
That is very like, true.
I couldn't ask someone, you know, unless it's driving me crazy and I just can't find the actual answer for it. Like, oh my gosh, I just don't even, I need to talk to somebody about this. And then, you know, you're able to explore more things based off what they say and, you know, what advice they give you.
So as you move forward, my son, and the rest of you who are listening, take time to reflect, learn, and grow, and become a better person.
Doesn't that sound so good? I will say this. In the past maybe like half a year, I'd say, I've become obsessed with trying to become a better person.
That's good.
Which is a very good obsession to have, I think. I have been, not in the sense of, because part of becoming a better person is not wallowing in guilt of bad decisions that you make.
That's
not
true.
Not defining your journey of becoming a better person by the mistakes you've made along the way and realistically approaching them. So it's like, becoming a better person is great, especially if when you were a kid, if you're like me, you used to fantasize your adult life. And now in my adult life, I feel like at the very least, if not even more so, I am probably past the point that I was hoping that I would be at when I was around this age.
Mm.
When it comes to how I am, how I act, how I feel, how I think, I am most definitely have surpassed my childhood expectations, and that's a fantastic feeling to have. And it's only something that you can have if you are self-aware of your growth and where you're at in life.
And you only get there if you take time to reflect on your life.
Oh my gosh, this episode is awesome. And with that, I think that's the PK Podcast Episode 2, Season 4, Episode 2.
That's right. I hope you guys were blessed, and I hope that you guys would take time to reflect on everything that's happened in your life so that you too can grow and reach God's greatest potential for your life.
I can only hope and pray that you have a beautiful, gorgeous dad like mine to help you through that process. Boy, do I love him. Boy, is he handsome. All right, guys. With that said, God made you special.
And he loves you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.